Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then.
It would have been 1988. I was sick and dying of a disease. Had no idea about it. I'd gotten into a fight with a street gang, and after that was over, my mother knew something was wrong with me, and she had reached out and was asking some questions. And I'd been in fights before, but I'd never hurt that many people out in front of God and everybody. It was out in front of a pool hall. And so she knew something was wrong with me. And so they started running some tests, and they found out that I was sick. And they thought I still might die. I was 2 inches shorter than I am now, and I had dropped to, 92 or 96 pounds. And I was just basically a skeleton. And so my mother had tried to get me saved probably since all the days I can remember. I remember the last 2 years before I got saved, she had given me a Bible. And I remember the year before I got saved, I said, you know, that's really interesting. It's got some insight into it, but I'm not really that interested. And I had my own plans about life. Then all this stuff happens, and I had to move back in with her. Because they were concerned I would end up hurting people, she had made a deal that I wouldn't have to be basically locked down. And so she pushed it. Back then, TVs were on wheels. And she pushed the television over next to the door. And for a couple hours a day, I had to listen to the same guy teach over and over again. And then finally one day, he made that statement. He said, the Bible is God speaking to you. If you believe it, it'll work. If you don't, it won't. And it made kind of sense to me because being an instructor and a trainer, if you wanted to get a bunch of people together and get them all on the same page, you'd have to write it down. And so I said, I got out of bed and I said, listen, I tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know whether this yo-yo's a hypocrite or not. I don't know him. And I said, but I'm going to read it from cover to cover. I'm going to do it. And I did start in the New Testament because it was new. And so I said, I'm going to do everything that I see on here. And I should know by empirical evidence whether you're real or not. And after all these years, I found him to be true. Because, you know, I didn't know whether that other guy was a hypocrite or not, but I could determine whether I was being hypocritical or not. And so after all these years, I'd like to say I'd never become a hypocrite, but I'd be lying, and that'd be hypocritical. And so I am going to talk to you about something this morning that is, it's interesting as I travel around the world, and I pastor about 200 pastors around the world now, I guess, something like that. And one of the things about the local church is that very often people who attend church and even the pastors of churches don't actually understand why we go to church. When they show up, they have no expectation. You know, what Pastor was saying earlier is so true. You know, if you have no expectation, your reception is going to be very low. And a lot of times people show up to church and they have no idea what to expect. They don't really know why they're there except, hey, we're Christians and it's Sunday. And there needs to be a reason, not just for you. You need to have a reason to get your rear end out of bed when your rear end doesn't want to get out of bed, right? You've got to have a reason, and I don't know if I'll get into all this morning, but we're going to talk about that live streaming is not enough. It really isn't. And I'm going to explain to you biblically why that's true. And but I want to talk to you about what is the importance of the local church. And go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we have three books in the Bible that were specifically written to pastors, trying to help them. And one of them, obviously, is Timothy. And this is what Paul says to him. Now, this is the great apostle Paul. He's the apostle of grace. He is the one that had a clearer understanding even than those guys that ran around with him for a few years. And this is what he says in verse 14. He says, "These things I write to you." I'm in 1 Timothy 3:14. "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly." Now, that's interesting that he makes that statement, because what he's saying is what this is so important that I do not want there to be any more delay in you getting a hold of this. So even if I'm delayed, I don't want you delayed in getting this into your understanding. Right? And so he says, "Even though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Now, when I first got saved, because I watched a guy on TV, I didn't understand the importance of the local church. Nobody really explained it to me. Nobody really talked about it. And probably for the first couple years of my Christian walk, I watched television, right? And that guy, he had meetings and things, and I'd show up and I'd go to his meetings. And one of his meetings is a week long, and we figured it out one time that it was a year's worth of church. And if you went twice a week, and so we thought, you know, you hit two conventions a year, in 2 weeks you've done all your church for the year. And so, this was kind of our approach. Now, and I did at one point realize I should go to church. There's got to be some reason these places are around, right? And so I did end up going, but, you know, nobody actually ever explained what was the purpose. And it was interesting because the way this breaks this down, he says that, he says, "You ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." You know, let me say this about conducting yourself in the house of God. If there is a way to conduct yourself in the house of God, there is a way not to conduct yourself in the house of God. A lot of times people say, "Well, I should just really be able to do whatever I want to do." No. All of us are in levels of progression in our walk. We just have a brand new baby girl. She is 6 months old. And, you know, when we first got her home, you know, my wife was talking about her this morning. I was watching my wife's service. And when we first got her home, we had to do everything. But even at 6 months, she's learning to help cooperate with, well, like when we're changing her clothes, pulling her arms out and all those things. But I'll just tell you that right now, there's a lot of things I put up with her that I'm not going to put up with her when she's 16. There's a lot of cleaning I do right now I won't be doing when she's 16. Because there should be a progression in our walks. And we should make up our minds as believers that I don't want to stay a baby. I think sometimes, honestly, in people's Christian walk, it's the only place I've ever seen people where they're like, you know, when you're a little, I don't know how you were when you were little, but when I was little, I wanted to be grown. I mean, even at 5 years old, it's like, you know, talk to me like I'm an adult, right? And you know, I liked it when people said, "Hello, little man." And then I got to where, "Well, why are you calling me little?" I mean, you know, no, I want to be grown. But in Christianity, a lot of times people actually contend for their immaturity. I want the pastor to do my praying. I'm not going to do my praying. I want you to do my praying. Are you here? I want to show up and you just spoon feed me the way you do a 2-year-old. I don't want to be involved in any work in the house. I just want to sit here. And when I'm ready to go, then I just get to leave. But if I bawl and squall, I need you to come running and take care of whatever it is I'm bawling and squalling about. Moving right along. Right? And you sit there and sometimes you talk to people and it's like, hey, you know, you can grow into this. There's things you can do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, then you will always be limited in where you go. And, you know, one thing that has come to my attention is, as I'm looking ahead, let me ask you this. Do you, when you arrive in heaven, do you want to have died with a life with no meaning? As though it doesn't even matter that you ever existed. That you are in the presence of God, but you bring no fruit. Right? And really, nobody can tell whether you lived or not. I don't want to live. There's too much hell on earth that we go through as we walk through things. I want it to have counted. I want it to mean something. Now, as we go on and we say this, he looks at this, he says, how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Let's stop there for just a second, because a lot of times, historically, this is what happened. We would major on the house of God as a building, right? This is the building, this is the house of God. And listen, you could live like a hellion out there as long as you didn't do it in the house of God. I mean, even the mafia, right? They would come to church, right? And then we're just going to leave here and go out and do some killing. But I tell you what, we're not going to do it in the church because that's a holy place. Right? And so people got this idea, as long as I don't blow it in the house, I'm okay. Because they didn't realize that you are the church. And members in particular, right? We are the body of Christ. And so even when I walk out of here, I'm taking the church with me because I am the church. And so all of a sudden we had this swing, right? Where the Lord began to emphasize, hey, you are the church. Just because you're not in the building doesn't mean you should live like an alley cat. It matters how you live. It affects people's lives, how you live. And, you know, one thing people don't realize is the way you behave won't save you, but it may save someone else. You ever tried to witness to somebody that had been around Christians and they didn't want to talk about it because of the Christians they had met? When I first met my wife, she was a Catholic. And I went into her house to meet her parents, and my wife thought, this is going to be awesome. My parents are the sweetest people. And they walked in, and they found out I was a pastor, and this is what they said. Oh, you're one of those born-agains. Yes, I am. And then they began to tell me about all of the Christian born-again people with fishes on their cars that had shafted them throughout the years. And so now I'm trying to present the true gospel to them, but they have all of these people as a reason that said that they believe these things, and yet they are an excuse for them not to believe. Your very life should be a testimony, and it should be an impartation of, you should believe because of what you've seen in us. Not you shouldn't. But so people got this idea, well, this, you know, the building. Let's build some real nice edifices. Let's do all this stuff and all this. I mean, you can travel around the world, you can see some beautiful structures. But then all of a sudden God said, you know, guys, I think you're missing the whole point. It's not how you live on Sunday. It's who you are every day. You know, I've said for years that people have, I said, if Sunday was the only day you were in the flesh, I would be happy with that if for the other 6 days you live for the Lord. Because a lot of times people get all upset, well, I think that's just flesh. Well, listen, if they want to have one day of flesh in church, but when they go out there, they demonstrate who Jesus is, I'll work with it. Sometimes we major on this time together. And so God began to wake us all up and say, no, you are my body. You belong to me. You are my representative in the earth. We are the church. And so when people said, isn't it good to be in church? We would begin to say, isn't it good to be the church? Right? And so we began to get that revelation, but then something went wrong. Because people began to think, you know what? I don't have to actually go to the building anymore because after all, I am the church. And so I can blow off any getting together. I don't need any of that, right? And people, you know, it's very true. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Absolutely not. But there are many things that will not happen in your life, and there are many promises that will not be fulfilled unless you are in a church. And I'm going to prove that to you as we go along. By the way, I'm only here for 3 days, 4 days. We, on our television show, we taught on this for 17 episodes, so there's a lot I'm not going to be able to give you, but you can go on there and see it. But Paul begins to bring this back in because he begins to say, you know, both are true. Yes, we are the church, but there is a building that you should go to, a place that you should come together with your brothers and sisters. And there's an actual purpose for you coming to this building, for getting together. It is because the local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. There is no other office in the body of Christ that has that responsibility like the pastor's office. And we're going to talk about the pastor's office as we go along. But a lot of times people say, well, why should I go to church? Because the local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why you should go. Now, a lot of times people don't understand what that means. And let me kind of tell you a little bit about my history and why some of this came out. Have you all heard of a gentleman by the name of Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Copeland Ministries on television? Okay. All right. Well, I got saved. His was the ministry I got saved under. And then I decided that I wanted to give something back, and so I started working at Believers Conventions, okay? And we would have anywhere from, with Victory Campaign, anyway from like 3,500 people to some of the meetings had like 35,000. And I started, my job kept changing over the years, but I ended up having to talk to a lot of people. And you know, and every year we would go back to several different, we would go back to the same places. You know, there'd always be a Believers Convention. There would always be a Victory Campaigns and things. Now, we had two Believers Conventions each year. That was Southwest and then West Coast. They'd already quit the East Coast by the time I came along. They did add the Great Lakes one. But I'd meet a lot of people. And it was interesting because I would meet people year after year who were weird. I mean, like really weird. And then I would meet people who had the exact same problems year after year, and they had they didn't ever seem to have victory. They were hearing the same message I was hearing. But there were no changes. Every year they'd come in and they'd be smiles and they'd be happy. And then they'd say, will you agree with me? And it was pretty much the same prayer of agreement that I had to pray the year before. Are you with me? Now, so I don't like losing ever in anything. And if I find somebody that's losing, I want to talk to them and find out what they're doing so I don't ever do what they're doing. Right? Same way I'll talk to a winner. If he's being successful, I'll talk to him, what are you doing? But I want to talk to you. And especially if you're weird, because I want to know, how did you get weird? So that I can avoid that. And so I started taking a poll. Now, nobody knew I was taking the poll. I tried to be discreet about it. But over the years, I found out that the people that were the weirdest, the people that had the least amount of success in their intimacy with God, their walk with God and things, I would ask them questions like, so, where do you go to church? This is my church. This is my church. And I'd say, well, okay. Or they'd say this. Well, sometimes I go over here, and sometimes I go over here. Are you with me? And I'm talking like 90%. I mean, to the point, actually, one of the reasons I ended up in church before I understood anything of what we're talking about today was because when I saw all these weird people and all these people who weren't winning were not in church, I thought, you know what? I should go find one. Because that's a common denominator. And see, that's what happens when you start talking about the fact that the local church causes us to be grounded. It is the ground. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, I'll get into this a little bit more, but you know, let me show you something here right quick. And we'll come back to this. Go with me to Matthew. Chapter 9. It says this, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." By the way, that's Jesus' idea of good services. I hear different people, as they go around and look for churches, they're like, well, I want a church with a really good children's ministry for my kids. Listen, if you're not learning anything in the main service, then you need to find another church because you should be able to teach your children the Word of God. They should see you live it and they should see you minister it. It's great if a church has a great children's ministry, but if you're sitting there getting absolutely nothing because your children are being taught something, how in the world are you ever going to explain it to them? How are you ever going to take them deeper? How are they ever going to see in your everyday life the riches of His grace if you don't know what they are? Okay? And so then he goes on here and he says this. Now notice what he's done among these people. He's preached to them. He's healed them. He's taught them. And then he looks at them and he says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were wearied and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." What? They've just had the very best teaching. They've just had the very best preaching and teaching and healing ever, and they are still wearied and scattered. Are you here? And he looks at them and he says, you know what? We need to pray. He said, and he specifically says what he was seeing. They are like sheep without a shepherd. He says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Context being, we need some shepherds. Now, this shouldn't have been a surprise when he started thinking this, because in the book of Jeremiah, over and over, he talks about the day when Jesus comes and he would actually be able to truly implement the shepherd's office in the earth. Are you with me? Because here, you can go to a believer's convention, you can watch the very best teaching on television, you can hear the very best preaching, you can go and you can be healed, but the truth of the matter is you are still going to be wearied and scattered ultimately without a shepherd. Why is that? Because the shepherd is responsible for the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so what happens is people go to these places and they receive truths, but they never get grounded in it. You know, let's talk about the pillar for just a second. We have pillars to keep the roof from coming in on us. We have pillars to give us something to hold on to keep us stable, to give us something that when our knees get weak, we can grab on to. And that is the local church. You know, this is a reason that you should always be looking and serving in the local church, because you, when you do that, you are making the local church possible. I've seen people get really excited about serving ministries that are on television and things like that, and they act like that's all cool and stuff, and that is wonderful, and you should do it. But at the end of the day, there should also be a place that you come back to, that you participate in the pillar and the ground of the truth. The very thing that keeps people from getting weird. The very thing that gets them to where they're not just living the message twice a year. not just hearing the message twice a year, but they're hearing it on an ongoing basis, so much so that their feet become firmly planted on a foundation. And that it teaches you how to hold on to it. It teaches you how to grab a hold of the pillar. And understand, the pastor's office is not the most powerful office in the body of Christ. But it is the most important, because the rest of us can do whatever it is that we want to do, and there is not fruit that remains on a large scale if there are not shepherds there and a local place where people can be taught to hold on to the truth and to get grounded in it. This is the reason that Billy Graham, you know, they did a study one time in the course of a year. They'd gone to two separate cities. And in each city, they'd gotten between 85 and 90,000 people saved. And so then after the year, about a year later, they wanted to see what the results were. And so they went to the one city, and the majority of those people were not living out their Christian walk. Then they went to this other city, and the majority of their people were living out their Christian walk. And they couldn't figure out why, so they started studying it. And what they found out was, is in the place where the majority of people were walking out what Jesus had done in their life, they had very, very strong local church support, and people were able to plug in. That only makes sense, because after all, the local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is how, think about it. You know, your foundation is the key part of the building, because it tells you how high you can build and how wide you can build. It tells you where you can go. It tells you how strong you will be in the midst of storms. And a lot of times people, you know, in South America, it's kind of interesting because, and really around the world, but I've seen it the most blatant in South America, people just act like the pastors are like no big deal. That's the reason that when we're on our television broadcast, I think it's every fifth episode, we like to say that, we want you to partner with us. We want you to watch the TV show. But you need to listen to your pastor more than you listen to me. Because it was on television, I'm a general gift to the body of Christ. But people don't realize your pastor is a specific gift to you. And that pastor's office will keep you, it'll keep you where you get grounded. And a lot of times people don't realize this. They can't figure out why. You know, if you look up wearied and scattered, it actually talks about they're bewildered. They don't know where they're going. Have you met people like this? Now, here's one of the things that you've got to, you should, a lot of times people miss with this, and it goes back to what Pastor said about expectation. A lot of times pastors have been so demeaned. You know, I was talking about in South America, it's funny what they do. I had one guy, he tried to tell me he was an apostle, and that basically all pastors were glorified home group leaders, and they were not that significant because, after all, he was an apostle. And I wondered about the Apostle Paul, about when he went places, how he looked for laborers that would stay there and remain so that the fruit would not be lost. And evidently, the Apostle Paul thought a lot of pastors because he was always looking for people to step up. And he wrote letters to encourage these men to stay there because they would keep people from being wearied and scattered. They would get them grounded in the truth. Are you here? And see, a lot of times the reason this people aren't experiencing this in church is they have no expectation of it. When you get up out of bed, whichever days you have service, obviously you have them on Sunday, but when it's on service days or even approaching there, you should have in your heart, when I leave there today, I'm going to be more grounded than I was before. I'm going to be strengthened to hold on to the truth in greater measure than I have before. Because after all, that's why I'm going there. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth for me. And now, that's one thing I like about coming here, because I've been to some churches that they just invite you, and if the Lord says go, you go, you meet the pastor and it's like, I'm not really sure this is a pillar in the ground of the truth, because I don't really know about this person here. But when I come here and I talk to your pastors and I hear their heart for you and I hear their commitment to the Word of God and I hear how they want to get you to where not that you are a fully functional disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you know who you are in Christ, that it's working for you, that you are stable, that you are strong. You know, in one of these services I'm going to talk about, we always make this statement. Where you go to church is the difference between life and death, but nobody can necessarily explain why, and I'm going to show you some scriptures that will explain why. But you know, the thing of it is you need to understand is when your flesh tells you, I just don't feel like going this morning, well, I'm going to get up and go because I need to be grounded. And if I don't need to be grounded today, there's coming a day shortly I will need to be grounded. There's coming a day that I'm going to have to know how to hold on to the truth and to put it into practice. Do you remember that one of the groups in Mark chapter 4, one of the groups that had problems and didn't end up having the Word produced in their life were people that only received the Word emotionally and they only stuck with it for a little bit and they had no root in themselves. You know, one of the things that you, when you come to church, you should have this expectation, I'm going to get rooted today. There's something either going to be planted or going to be watered, but it's going to take deeper root in my life. And if I don't need it today, there's going to come a day I do need it. And when I do need it, I won't have to go get it. It'll already be working on the inside of me. I don't know if you figured this out yet, but when you get into a fight is not the time to decide to go train. Right? It doesn't work that way. Fight will be over and you'll have lost. You got to be prepared before you ever get there. And that's what the local church does. It gets you. You know, one of the things that the definitions for this grounded, it is the mainstay. It keeps you standing. And as you look around the world and, you know, you ought to find the value in what you have in this church, because I can pull up YouTube and show you several different churches who do not teach the Word of God anymore. That they're not holding to it. They are no longer a mainstay for the truth. But this place is. That's how valuable that is. And, you know, truths are interesting because a lot of times what happens, kind of like the group in Mark chapter 4, we get excited about truth. I get excited when I hear my answer. But a lot of times people treat truths in the Word of God like exercise programs. Right? Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that program will do it. That program will do it right there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna buy the DVD or get the online program, and man, I'm gonna do it. They're excited. They're excited. And then they do it the first, yeah, it's my first day. Whew. And usually they wait till a Monday. Guys, we need to quit waiting on anything where truth is concerned. We need to start today. And so I'm gonna do it. And so they paid money, and they're excited, and they get, all of a sudden they do the workout, and all of a sudden they realize there are parts of this that are not fun. Sometimes it really dawns on them on the third day, and they're so sore, you know, and they can't move and things, and then all of a sudden when the excitement's gone, they leave the very thing that would have given them their answer. They were excited about getting in shape, but not so excited that when they had to hold on to that, they stayed with it. In this room, you have brothers and sisters that when they give you a truth, when you hear the truth, they are here to help you. Not just the pastors, but you're around people that can remind you, remember what the Word says. Hold on to that truth. Grab a hold of that pillar. Don't let go of that pillar. No, it is exactly true what Jesus said. God's Word is true. Every jot, every tittle, you can count on it. You can bank on it. No, don't let go of that pillar. Don't let go of that truth. It will see you through. This is one of the reasons we go to church. And when you show up here with expectation, no matter what the message was going to be about, God is going to have a word for you. God is going to say something to you. When you leave your house with expectancy and you're sitting there, Lord, I thank you that I have a place I can go that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I thank you that today something's going to happen in me. So I'm going to be reminded of a truth. I'm going to be taught a truth. I'm going to be taught how to apply the Word of God. I thank you, Lord. It is worth it to get up and get out of bed and come. It is worth it to be here. And then this is the other thing that when people ask you, say, well, yeah, but why do you go to church? Because I like being grounded in truth. I like that when the storms come, I've got a pillar of truth and I've been trained how to hold on to that pillar of truth. And even when I feel a little weak, I've got brothers and sisters that know me that will come alongside me and remind me of that truth. And you know, I love believers' conventions. I don't get a chance to go anymore. I go to a lot of gospel truth seminars and things like that. I get to go to a lot of those and stuff, and I thank God for those, and I thank God for those men and women that I get to hear. But I have to remember what keeps me solid. I have to remember what keeps me strong. I have to remember that though those things, that I can be, get the very, very best teaching available, but I still need to have a pastor. I still need to go to a place that keeps me grounded in truth. You know, even in television ministries and things like this, I've heard pastors that are hirelings, and they say, well, if you're going to, you know, you sit home and watch that on TV, well, then if you get sick, then don't call me. You're just a hireling. You're not a servant. Servant, you know, people say, well, if you send your tithes somewhere else, you know, don't call me. That's just a hireling attitude. Now, for us, I firmly believe in putting our tithes in the local church, especially if you're getting fed there. I definitely believe in that. But on the other side of it, you know, as a local church, because your pastors are servants, not hirelings, they're going to be there for you. But a lot of times what happens is they were already there for you before your problem showed up. And most of the time what I've found in people's lives is their pastors, within probably 4 to 6 weeks before a problem, actually ministered the answer that they needed. And they just weren't there for the answer that God had already given provision. God had already set aside. You know, I know that I pastor more ministers now. My wife actually pastors one of the church, and then one of our other guys pastors our other church. But I remember people call me. They hadn't been in church. I hadn't seen them for a while. And they'd say, hey, would you pray with us? We're having this problem. And I'd say, you know, it's a funny thing. I've been teaching on that for the last 3 weeks. You go online and watch it, watch that, and then I'll pray for you. Why? Because the Lord already had an answer for them. Nothing caught the Lord by surprise. He actually set aside that time to specifically speak to their need. I remember one time a nurse called me. It was right, I was trying to remember, it was before COVID and something, and they had had like some outbreak of the flu that was horrible and stuff like this, and she's working in the hospital, and she hadn't been in church in a couple weeks, and she texts me and says, can I talk to you? And so I end up, I talk to her, and she's like, I'm just terrified of what's going on. I just don't know what to do. I'm scared of this thing. People are just getting sick, and, you know, she just got married, and she said, I want to have a baby, and now, you know, I don't want to die, and going through all this stuff. It's a funny thing, that very morning in service, I had actually taught on our redemption specifically from that disease, showed everybody what they could be doing in their own personal life and taught them. And the answer was available to her, and she wasn't working. She was just tired. And it was funny, the Lord had ministered her answer, but she just wasn't there. Because in the local church, God knows why He created the local church. God knows why it is that He set aside a place where people could get grounded in the truth. Now, to me, that's encouraging. You know, I've had to learn some life lessons about it, but it's encouraging for me to know, you know what? I can show up, and no matter what it is that the Lord has need of, whatever truth I need to get established in, even if He's got to stop the pastor and chase a rabbit for a minute to get me to where I need to go, then that's what's going to happen. Because God has ordained a place where I can go and get grounded in truth. That I don't have to be wearied and scattered. I don't have to be up and down and sideways. I don't have to be mountaintops one day and valleys the next. I don't have to have any of that. I can actually have a stable walk with God, but a large part of that is me going to a place that was specifically designed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth in my life. And go there with expectancy. You know, and then on the other side of it, if you think about how important this is, a place that is specifically designed to get people grounded, to keep people strong, what happens when you make that place possible? You know, I had an opportunity to watch a minister. I think they had gotten more people saved than anybody I'd ever seen, and I mean, ever even heard of. Like, I think it was the first time I'd ever heard of an altar call that had more than 1 million people answer the altar. And the crowd was, I forget how big the crowd was, about 2.5 million, if I remember right. But not just everybody raises their hand, like they filled out cards. They had cards after the service. And I think about, man, the people who donated the finances to make this meeting happen, the people who are out here working that made it possible for 1 million people to get saved. Man, great is their reward that made that happen. But you know, there's two things that Paul said that he desired. He said he desired, and I believe it was the desire of the Lord, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, a lot of times we get so excited over those big evangelistic meetings and how huge they are and all those people getting saved, and we should. The Bible says that all heaven rejoices after one person gets saved. But when do we come back and begin to get just as excited over the fact that there's a place where people can get established in truth, where they are not ruled over by demonic forces, that the devil just doesn't run roughshod over their life, that everything that Jesus shed His blood that we could have, that there's a place we can be trained how to walk in that it not be in vain, that we not just get saved, but we actually come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know if you've thought about that, but very few people actually... There are churches of believers that don't believe, right? And so I think the saddest part, it's sad that their life, they're never going to experience, you know, the victories that Jesus purchased for them. That is truly sad. I think to me it's worse to know that there was a price paid for them to have more than what they have, and that the price goes unclaimed. You know, that video was talking about the Macedonians, and he was talking about there in chapter 8. And yeah, it's true in their deep poverty, but you read down a little bit further, that they went through verse 5. You read a little bit further, I think it's verse 9. And he says that Jesus was made poor, that you through His poverty might have an abundance. In other words, guys, you don't have to stay in this state. There was a price paid, and if you will lay hold of it and get grounded in it and walk in it, there is a reward for you. So if you think about a place, an embassy, where people are established in truth, where they get a hold of the truth, they learn how to hold on to the truth, that actually says, you know, you actually should walk in healing, not just because you need it, but because there was a high price paid for it. You should get to the place that you're not only able to pay your bills, but others. Not just for your benefit, but because there was a price paid for it. Hey, you know, you shouldn't walk around in fear and distress after there was a price paid that you could walk in faith and not in fear. You know, there's a world out there that needs to hear and understand. We can teach you how not to fear COVID or anything else. And there is a place, a local place, especially here, where you can hear about these truths and get reminded of them, get challenged on them, get corrected on them, so that you can be everything that God ever called you to be. And see, just like we were talking about those people that gave, that made those huge meetings possible and all those people get saved, understand when you make the choice to serve in the local church, it does two things. A lot of times we present it as, well, the church needs your help with this. By the time we get done on Wednesday, you're going to find out you actually need to get involved, because without you getting involved, there's a lot of things that you're going to miss out on as a person, as a Christian, as a child of God. That it's not just that the church needs, it's that you need. That you need that growth. You need a place to practice certain things. Because listen, if we can't learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit in here, if we can't learn to walk in love in here, if we can't love to bless those who curse us and do good to those that hate us in here, we'll never do it out there. And you need that. You need it. But beyond that, when you show up, and you make this possible. When the singers show up and make this possible. When the children's workers show up and make this possible. By the way, a lot of times, I know that your pastors know this, but there's a lot of pastors that don't seem to know this because they get all excited about when people come down to the altar. You know, when people come to our altar, the truth of the matter is, as I understand, it has very little to do with me. It has more to do with the person who was in the parking lot, the person who opened the door for them. Because let me tell you, if they ticked them off, by the time they get in here, they're not listening to me. Or if the mother came in and she goes to the children's classroom and there's junk all over the floor and nobody vacuuming and stuff, they're cutting me off because they're not thinking about what I'm teaching. They're thinking about, is my kid back there and in there on that dirty floor? I hope my kid is not eating that stuff that I saw on that floor. You know, women's bathrooms are a big place. When the women's bathroom is clean, that's a very, very good thing for a church. Because a lot of times, you know, men, you know, it could be a barn. And they're like, but women, they walk into those restrooms and they're deciding about your church. None of that has anything to do with what they're in. They say, well, yes, but people should come for the word. If they were that spiritual, they wouldn't need us. Like the guy who argued with me one time, you know, church chairs are expensive, right? I think our chairs are like $75 each or something now, $85. They're not cheap. And I had people push back. Well, why should we spend that much money on chairs? And why should we do that? Well, because people should come just to hear the word, even if they had to sit on a rock. And I looked at them and said, I would expect that of you, but the people we're trying to reach right now are sitting in Lazy Boys. And they're carnal. And we want to bring them in here to get them established in truth. So let's get them in here so we can sit down. If I got to give them an $85 chair to get them here, to let them hear about Jesus and what he's done, then let's give them an $85 chair. And we that are spiritual, help those that are weak, not just throw them away. But you know, when they come in, the people that you want to reach are looking at, they're looking at everybody, whether you're smiling or not, whether you're interacting or not, whether you're prepared for them. And all of those things lead to that moment when they come in here, they hear the worship, they listen to the message, and they're not preoccupied thinking about all that stuff out there. And so I know when people get saved, when people turn their lives around, It had more to do with the people that had cultivated the ground before they ever got to the place that I could plant the seed. Your pastors know that as well. That's why each of you that is serving or is going to serve or you're planning on serving, you all have a part in that happens. Every person's life that gets changed, every person that hears the truth, every person that gets grounded in the truth, every person that grabs a hold of the column, every person that serves, that is your fruit just as much as it is the pastor's. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. We're going to talk about, how you can get more out of church. A lot of times people, they don't understand what to expect when you come from church. You're going to find out that with every service you expect, you should be expecting to be fed with knowledge and understanding. You should be expecting that you would, when a service is over, that you would fear no more, neither would you be dismayed. You should be experiencing the fact that that the presence of God is not something you have to go find, but you experience it every day in your own life and in your own heart. You don't have to go somewhere else to get it. You become established in intimacy in Jesus. And so over these, not only that, if you are serving in church or you are thinking about serving, I can explain to you why it will benefit you, not just the church, to do so. Amen? Today, when you fellowship with one another, remember one intimate part of us getting grounded is, I don't know about you, but I want to see the message in you, and I want you to see the message in me. I want you to see the Word in you. I want to see the Word in you, and I want to, because when I see the Word in you, I realize I'm not in this by myself. There's another person that believes in healing. There's another person that believes that God loves us and is for us and not against us. There's another person that believes that the Word can be counted on. And those things are important. You are changing the lives of the people around you. And you also, in this place that is the pillar and the ground of the truth, you are part of that. It's not just the pastor's office, but it's you reminding people about holding on to truth. And being reminded that the truth I hold on to is not some weird thing. You know, I don't know how much you spend out and around people, but a lot, when you start talking about, no, God loves me, He's going to help me, they're like, well, yes, He probably loves you, and like, but you never know whether He's going to help you or not. Isn't it good that we have a place where we got people around us that can look at you and say, no, unequivocally God loves you. Unequivocally God's going to help you. Unequivocally. That you are welcomed in the throne room. That you don't have to go in there and talk about what a worm you are and how dumb you were and all this other stuff. But you can go boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And that you have a place that you're surrounded by people that will remind you of that. To get out of your pity party and quit thinking about everything you've done wrong. Start thinking about what Jesus did right. That this isn't a you story, this is a Jesus story. So get you off your mind, get Jesus on your mind. And we get grounded in that. We become solid in that. So that when we encounter a problem and we're not here, oh no, this is what I've been prepared for. This is what I was being trained for. This is the reason I was taught to be a fully functioning disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that I could be violent about taking the kingdom. That it be an overcomer, not an undergoer. And that I truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the importance of this place. And if you haven't experienced that, change your expectation. Come in with that expectancy. Your pastors are going to come in with that expectancy. That today people's lives are going to be changed. Today people are going to become more solid. Today truth, they're going to hear the truth they need that empowers them to walk out of there and do everything that God has called them to do. If you will bring those two expectations together, there's nothing that will stop you. And then as people come in, let them know, today, thank you for coming here. I don't know what you understand about church, but let me explain something. Today, you're going to be more solid when you leave. Today, you're going to be more stable. Today, you're going to know in greater measure how to hold on to the truth. Amen?
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnerships. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.